Merry Christmas, everybody. I'm really glad that you're all here. And I'm thank you for this water. He gets his reward now. The Christmas message isn't really that complicated. The Christmas message is that God sent his son into the world. It's not a complicated message, a very simple message. And yet for years, the meaning of this message was completely lost to me. Actually, for years, the meaning of pretty much everything was completely lost on me. It just didn't make sense. And life can be like that sometimes, right? It just doesn't make sense. We can find ourselves in situations and we don't know how we got there. We don't know why we're in them or why this is happening. We can't figure out what causes it. We make choices and we don't understand even why we make this choice and not that choice. We just make the choice. And then we end up in places because of those choices and we don't know why we're there. And it just doesn't make sense sometimes. It's messy. And we think, oh, I know, I'll just do this and it will fix it. I'll do this and it will make me happy. And so we do that, and it doesn't fix it. And we try, and it doesn't make us happy. And we say, why? Why doesn't it make sense? Life? Me? My situation? Why is it so hard to understand the meaning of this? If you've ever felt that way before, what's the meaning of this? You're not alone. You're not alone. The thing is that most people just avoid the thought. Most people do whatever they can to avoid that thought. You know, when I was young, I would sit around with some old guys, and they would tell stories. And a lot of the stories were about how guys would retire and then die like a week later or, you know, a few months later. But they would retire and then just die really quick. You know, and those guys were from the generation that gave rise to the term workaholic, which is a strange term. But they brought about that term because they avoided life by pouring themselves into their jobs. And I'm not talking about guys who are just trying to provide for their families, and so they worked really hard. That's good. I'm talking about people who wanted to avoid the real questions of life, and so poured themselves into their work, thinking that from it, there would be some sort of salvation. You know, that maybe if they got enough money or enough social prestige or just worked hard enough, somehow they could avoid the mess of life. But they couldn't. You know, I was young and arrogant, and I said, I'm not going to be like those guys. And I ended up just doing exactly what they were doing, but in a different way. You know, I thought, well, if I fulfill my desires, then I'll find my salvation. And so I thought, I'll just anesthetize myself to these thoughts. I'll just chemically alter myself enough that I won't have to think these thoughts. So marijuana or alcohol or mushrooms or meth or coke or LSD, any of it, I tried it to see if it could get me to avoid this. And it didn't. Actually, one of my clearest memories from this time in my life was when I was on mushrooms, when my mind should have been so far away from all the problems and the mess of life. And while I was there, I had this thought. It was like a voice. It said, what's the meaning of life? And I don't know why, but I answered, There is none. And then the thought said, so then why don't you just kill yourself? And I got up and I did whatever I could do to avoid that thought. I started lifting weights and punching a punching bag and talking to my friends and doing whatever I could do to avoid the fact that I had that thought. Because I couldn't face life. How in the world was I going to face death? Life is messy. And avoiding these questions, no matter how we try, they keep finding ways to confront us. And I didn't know it then, but the Christmas message speaks directly to the meaning of life. The Christmas message speaks right into the mess of life. It spoke right into the mess of my life, and it can speak right into the mess of your life, wherever you're at right now today. The Christmas message helps us make sense of life. And it does it in three ways. One, it takes a bunch of options off the table and tells us, don't even think those thoughts, they can't be true. And then it tells us the causes of the mess. And then it shows us the solution. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 tell us about this Christmas message. These verses say this, and this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God has sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You know, this Christmas message comes to us, and right away it takes some options off the table. You know, when the mess of life comes and we're in those situations and we say, what is the meaning of this? Why am I here? Why is this happening? We might be tempted to think, well, it's because there's no God. God doesn't exist, and that's why life is a mess. We might be tempted to think that. And the Christmas message comes and says, that's not an option. God does exist. And there's lots of arguments that you can make for the existence of God. You could argue from creation that God exists, or you can argue from existence that he exists, or you can argue from beauty and morality and rationality that he exists. But Jesus Christ, the man, is a great argument for the existence of God. You see, when God came into our world, when God the Son took on a human body, the things that he did in that body are some of the greatest proofs for God's existence. What did he do in a body? Just, it's an amazing thought because it's hard to get our heads around that the God of the universe merged himself with humanity, that he became a man. But if he did, wouldn't you expect some amazing things to happen around him? And they did. They did. He was born of a virgin. He went about doing good and mighty deeds, delivering people from physical and spiritual harm. He lived a perfect life. He never sinned. Then he was brutally murdered on a cross, unjustly. But he didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he got out of the grave and he beat death. And we have eyewitness testimony of that. Actually, the book of 1 John starts out with him letting you know that he's an eyewitness. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, that which our hands have handled, considering the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. He keeps emphasizing, I saw him, I touched him, I'm an eyewitness. And the eyewitnesses who saw Jesus, who watched his life and wrote down what happened for us, They were willing to suffer and die for that message. You know, when the Watergate scandal happened, if just 10 people would have just kept the same lie, just 10 of them, they just agreed on the lie and kept it, nobody would have gotten in trouble. But as soon as one of them thought they might be in trouble, what did they start doing? Oh, well, if I get a deal, then I'll tell you everything that happened, right? Now, these guys were under threat of death. And many of them did die for their testimony. And they stuck to what their eyewitness testimony was. That is proof that God is there. That Jesus got out of the grave. That's a great proof that God is there. So that's not an option for the mess of life. God is there. So then while we're in the mess, though, we could feel, okay, he's there, but does he really care? He's there, but if he really cared, would I even be in this mess? But Christmas, this message of Christmas puts the brakes on that real quick. You can't look at Christmas and say God doesn't care. Actually, it says this here. In this, the love of God was manifest among us. Not just the care of God, not just the compassion of God, but the love of God was manifested among us. In what? In what was the love of God manifested among us? That God has sent his one and only Son into the world. God cares so much about you that God the Son was willing to become a human being. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that is the visual display of God's love. His life among normal people in a normal world. The suffering that he went through among normal people in a normal world shows that he cares about each and every one of us. He cares. He loves us. And it's been shown. It's been on display in Jesus. And not only does he love you, he loved you before you loved him. It says, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. You know, every other religion in the world says this. It says, you love God, and then he might like you. You love God, and then he might love you back. Maybe. The Bible says the complete opposite. The Bible says God loves you, even if you don't love him. God loves you, even if you don't care about him. He sent his Son for you, no matter how you feel about him. That is amazing. He cares. So in the mess, you might think, okay, God's there and he cares, but maybe he just can't handle this. Maybe my life is so messy, it's just too big of a mess for him. Maybe he's just not capable. Maybe that's the problem. And the Christmas message tells you that God is capable of whatever he wants to be capable of. That God is never limited by anything that you can think of. That it's not, the mess in your life is not caused by the fact that God is limited. And the Christmas message shows he's not limited because in becoming a man, God did something that theologians say is impossible. That there's no way it could happen. God can't become a man. That's just not an option on the table. How could it be? God's invisible. Man's visible. God can't die. Men can die. God has no needs. Men have needs. God doesn't get hungry or tired. Men get hungry and tired. How in the world can God become a man? And God said, I don't care what you think, I'm going to do it. And he did. Because God can do the impossible. Whatever we think is impossible, he can do. And when God sent his son, he did something that was impossible. The message of Christmas takes options off the table. In the mess of our life, we can't say there's no God, or God doesn't love us, or God isn't capable. The message of Christmas says to us all the opposites of that. It says God is there, and he loves you, and he wants to do the impossible in your life. So then, what is the cause of the mess? Where does the messiness come from in our lives? Well, we have to look at the reason for the message of Christmas. Why did God send his son into the world to find that out? And we see this in our verse. It says, he sent his son into the world that we might live through him. And it says that he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. He sent his son to address our lives and our sin. You know, what does that mean? What does it mean that we might live through him? And to be the propitiation for our sin. Well, the messiness in our lives, we see it in lots of places. And one of the first places we see it is what is going on with us physically. It's one of the first places we notice it, is what's going on with us physically. The Bible tells us that even though we're physically alive, we're all under the threat of physical death. And we know that. That's just reality. We are all under the threat of physical death. It's going to happen to us. Physical death is a threat that we think about a lot. We get in our cars and we put on our seatbelts. We think about when we're driving down the road, how we're going to drive, and we watch out for other people. I think about physical death every time I hear a car accident on MacArthur right outside here. Especially if my son's driving, I get worried like right away and I check my phone to see where he's at. Physical death is something we live under. The Bible actually says that death reigns. And we have a feeling in us that it shouldn't be this way, that death shouldn't reign, that our lives shouldn't be cut short like this, that it wasn't supposed to be like this. And yet, it's appointed to man once to die. We know it's true. Physical death. But the Bible also says, and reality also shows us, that there's another kind of death around us. Not just the separation of our souls from our mortal bodies, but a death that's inside of us that all of mankind experiences. The Bible calls it spiritual death. We're separated from God. Ephesians words it this way: we're alienated from the life of God. We're cut off from God. And inside, we're spiritually dead, separated from God. And we feel that. We feel that just between us and God, everything isn't okay. We feel inside of us that something isn't right, that we were made for something more, and we're not living that. And the Bible says that's spiritual death. So what caused this? What caused physical death to reign and us to be dead inside spiritually? What caused this to happen to mankind? Well, that has to do with the second reason Jesus came: sin. Sin caused it. Sin is when people go their own way, the Bible says. It's when we go astray, when we turn our back on God. It's when we say to God, God, I don't want what you have. I want to go my own way and get things that I desire. That's sin. And mankind, when we were created, we lived in perfect fellowship and harmony with God. We weren't spiritually dead. And we had access to live forever in our bodies. But mankind chose to say to God, God, I don't want you. I want to do my own thing and I want to live my own way. And when we did that, we cut ourselves off from the life of God. And physical death entered into our world and spiritual death entered into us. And we're not just born victims of this. We're willing participants in it, all of us, every one of us. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us, sometime in our life, we've chose, I'm not going to go God's way. I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. I don't want him. I want what I want. And when we did that, when we put our arms up to God and we said, I'm going to go my own way, we stored up for ourselves judgment. The Bible says it's appointed to man once to die, and after that, judgment. And the judgment of God is to give us what we pretty much asked for all eternity. We said to God, we don't want you. And so God says, then you'll be destroyed from my presence forever. You won't have me forever. The Bible calls that hell. When we're separated from God because of our sins forever. And this is the reason for the mess that's in the world and the mess that's in our hearts. It's sin and death. That's the reason for it. But the Christmas message says that God sent his son Jesus to save us from sin and death, that we might live through him, to be the propitiation for our sins. When Jesus became a man, when he was born into our world and lived among us, he suffered a lot of different things. You know, he had his friends. One of them betrayed him. The rest ran away from him at his darkest hour. Just abandoned him. He'd only done them good. They weren't there for him in the end. But before that even, he had suffered because he had people mock him. He had people try to kill him multiple times. He had people speaking horrible things about him, saying horrible things about him all the time. And then he even had his own family members who didn't believe in him and would make fun of him, rejected him. And he had friends and family members die as well. Jesus lived in our world and suffered just like we do. But when he got to the cross, something different happened. It wasn't just him participating in common human suffering. Something different happened on the cross. It says that he bore in his body our sins on the cross. Our verse says that he was the propitiation for our sins. That means that he satisfied the judgment of God that was on us. For our sins, he took that judgment. So on the cross, Jesus took on the death that we deserved for our sins. And he died. He died for us. He died for our sins. And think about this. The thing that caused you to be spiritually dead and to look forward to facing the judgment of God has now been handled in Jesus on the cross. But he doesn't stay dead there. That's not the end. He gets out of the grave. He comes and he's alive again in the same body. It's the same body that gets out of the grave. But now, it's a body that will never die. It's a body that can live forever. He gets out of the grave beating death. And so that means he can offer to you life and forgiveness for your sins. Life and forgiveness for your sins. Think about it. Life, he can reconnect you to God. Because Jesus died on the cross for your sins and got out of the grave, he can make you alive spiritually again and reconcile you to God. He can reconnect you to God. And he can also give you life that will last beyond the grave. When someone comes and puts their faith in Jesus and trusts in him, he gives them life, spiritual life inside. And then when they die, they go to be with God in the presence of God. But when Jesus comes back, their body will be raised again. Their body will be raised again to eternal life. It will be immortal body fit for the new heavens and the new earth. And that body will live in a place where there is no sin, where there is no death, where every wrong will be made right, like we sung, like Angie sung this morning. He can give you life, and he offers forgiveness. And that's really what this comes down to, is that God wants to offer you forgiveness. All of us have gone astray. Every one of us. Not one of us has done everything that God would have had us do. And none of us have lived our lives just wanting a relationship with God our whole life. We've all, at some point, said, God, I'm going to do my own thing. But God wants to forgive you. And he wants you back. God wants you back. So Jesus came to die for your sins and offer you forgiveness. And all you need to do is right where you are, repent of your sins, and put your faith in Jesus. Right where you are, stop trying to avoid these hard questions of life. Right where you are, stop trying to find salvation in anything else. Stop looking for salvation in your friends. Stop looking for salvation at your job. Stop looking for salvation in some kind of chemically induced state. Stop looking for salvation anywhere else and go to Jesus for your salvation. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you go to him, if you go and put your faith in him, he will save you. He will reconnect you with God. He will give you hope of eternal life, and you will be forgiven of your sins. And oh, what a joy it is to be forgiven. What a joy it is to know that you have fellowship with the living God who loves you and who sent his son for you. And you know, the beautiful thing is, once you put your faith in Jesus, life can get messy still. It's not like all of a sudden there's no sin around you and no death. We're not in the new heaven and the new earth yet, are we? We're not in our new bodies yet. But when life gets messy, once you have been forgiven and you have life from God, when life gets messy, you can go to God and you can know he loves you. You can go to God with the mess and you can know that he loves you. And when you don't understand why it's happening or you don't understand what God's up to, you can trust in God who sent his son for you. Who loves you so much that he sent his son for you. You can trust him with the mess. And when it's really hard and you don't know how you're going to put up with the mess any longer, you can put your hope in God that someday you won't be in this mess anymore, but you'll be in your new body, in the new heaven and the new earth where righteousness reigns. and nothing will be between you and your Savior. Oh, it's a beautiful thing to have hope in Jesus. Oh, man. The message of Christmas confronts us and makes us face life as it really is. Jesus came into our messy world and dealt with the mess. And he wants to make you confront the mess the way it is. Not hide from it, not run from it, but look straight at it. And he has dealt with the causes of the mess. He handled your sin, and he beat death. So if you don't know Jesus this morning, we're going to sing a song one more time right now. And if you don't know him this morning, I want you to, as we sing this song, to think about your relationship with him. Think about your life, and don't hide from it. Don't run from it. Before you leave and go back to running and hiding from reality, right here, right now, while you can face your sin and think about the fact that you are not living in fellowship with God, right here, right now, do business with God. Turn from your sin and put your faith in Jesus. You don't need to clean up your life first. You don't need to fix something. You don't need to get anything right. All you need to do right here, right now, is tell Jesus that you don't want to run from him any longer, that you want to come to him and be forgiven of your sins, and that you trust that because he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again from the dead, that he can save you. So as we sing, open up your heart. Open your heart to Jesus and stop shutting him out. Turn to him and be forgiven today.
Make room in your heart. Make room.
If this morning you made room in your heart for Jesus, if you gave your life over to him, talk to the person who brought you here, or talk to me or one of the guys at the door. Talk to somebody about it and let them know. Let them know that you made room in your heart for Jesus. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you that you sent him into our world, that he became flesh, was born of a virgin, did mighty deeds, was crucified for our sins, was buried and rose again on the third day. Father, we thank you that we could have life because of him, that we can be forgiven of our sins because of him. And Father, I thank you that there are so many people here who have come to him and found forgiveness and life in Jesus. And Father, I want to pray for anyone here who has put their faith in your Son, that you would move in their hearts to share that story, to share what you've done in their life. We're just so grateful that you sought us when we weren't seeking you, that you came for us when we weren't seeking you, that when we finally did seek you, we found that you were looking for us the whole time. We're so grateful, Father, that you love us. We know that you loved us first, but because you loved us, we can say, Father, we love you. Father, I do pray if there's anybody here who hasn't made room in their heart, Lord, I pray that the messiness of life, that they wouldn't just run and hide from the questions about the meaning of life. They wouldn't run and hide from the questions about why the things are happening to them that are happening. But that they would come to you and put their trust in your Son who came to save them. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Christmas.